All right, good day, everybody. Welcome to The Gray Matters, where we discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not all a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So we're here, hopefully, to bring that to you every week with just a little bit of nuance, class, and fun. Our panel, as always, consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike, and you'll soon come to find out just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. As always, I am Billy Craig, joining you from the beautiful state of Delaware out here on the East Coast. Today, I'm joined by two kings, real black royalty in every sense of the word. I have my brother D.L. Hughley joining me from Nashville, and Mr. I Wish and M.F. Wood himself, Cedric the Entertainer, all the way from good old Portland. Welcome, brothers. Good to see you.
How we get there?
Say hello.
I don't even know how this happened, but
what's up? What's happening?
I mean, Bernie dead.
I'm more the round one than him. You should have flipped us around.
And DL had the locks and like got that backwards.
You did. It's cool.
Sorry. Well, I mean,
Rev getting up there.
But you know, Steve Harvey always be messing up.
I mean, that man got.
You know what I'm saying?
Really? That man got the whole Miss America wrong. So, hey, you know what? That's very fitting. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for cleaning that up for me.
The Kangs.
We the Kangs. We going to see the Kangs. Let's do it. Yeah. All right.
So today we're going to touch on an important topic. We're going to get serious for a second.
They're all important.
They all are important, but this one like is directly, it's going to get spelled out for our listeners. Mm-hmm. We're going to dive into the topic of men's health. And we can only talk from a black male's perspective. So black men's health, more importantly, which, you know, with this being around Father's Day, we're just going to dive into some things and approach the subject delicately, but lay it out there for you. And hopefully this is an engaging conversation because it's an important conversation that needs to be had. So we're going to kick this off with our resident Mr. Olympia, Billy Craig on this one.
Mm-hmm. Blood draws.
Let's see. So I'm gonna start off with just a general.
Get it out the system.
No, it's gonna be spread throughout. It's gonna be sprinkled jabs throughout this whole entire thing. But when it comes to black men's health, what do you see as an area that most needs to improve?
Actually, I'll address that in two ways. The first is what we just did. Obviously, you know, we've had this conversation, you know, off air, you might say. We've talked about this a lot, but I think that similar to a lot of things in our culture, speaking of black men's health, I think that there is a certain almost comedic low-hanging fruit kind of jabs thing that happens for men who actually do care about their health. And I think that sometimes there is a certain, like, if you are a health nut, if you're somebody who is conscious of your health, if you're somebody who works out a lot, if you eat certain foods, natural, you care about doing that, you do your own farming, things, because you care about those things, it's like there's that, I respect it, but you're still kind of like, you're a little strange to me, you're a little weird, like, I'm not giving up my Twinkies and you weird for doing it. I'm not giving up my pork chops and you're weird for doing that. And so it's almost like, I guess the way I would say it would be, there's not a seriousness. There's not a certain levity, you might say, around the conversation. And this kind of goes into part two. People don't get serious about their health until it's already too late. Like, it's not serious until it's serious. Nobody gets a prostate exam until they can't, like, they can't use the bathroom anymore. Like, nobody deals with their diet until they've got liver problems or they got diabetes or there's all these things where it's like by the time that happens, it's already too late. And I know that's not something that's unique and specific just to the Black community or with Black men, but I think that our conversations need to have a certain depth to them when it comes to that. The other thing I'll say, especially around certain issues related to Black men's health, it's unavoidable, but we have to deal with the fact that many of us just don't like to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of reasons why. There's lots of, some of that is structural in that many Black men, let's just, you know, call it what it is, per capita, we don't have the best healthcare benefits and living in a country like ours where it's not universal healthcare. It's like some people just frankly cannot afford to get the screenings. I don't mean you can't just go to the doctor. I just mean like the screenings, being able to get screened for colon cancer, pancreas, whatever it is, these types of things. But I also think there's a bit of a fear that we have of going to the doctor. And it's not, again, it's not just unique to the Black community or Black men, but I find that especially the Black men in my circle, many of them, until they get old, they avoid the doctor at all costs because they're still worried about horror stories. You know, I can't tell you in 2023 how many times I talked to a Black man about, you know, going to the doctor, even like around COVID, they were like, I'm scared of getting, you know, shots. Why? Well, because of the Tuskegee experiment, right? That literally that gets cited as a reason to not go and get your cholesterol checked or go and get a prostate exam or, you know, go and get, you know, make sure they check out all these things because it ties into not the external stuff, but the internal organs and things like that. Many men, frankly, don't know their bodies or pay attention to their bodies enough, or they see something and they're just like, I see something growing. I'm going to just keep going and I'll deal with it later. And it's like, nah, man, that's a tumor. Like, you need to get that checked out. But so I think it's kind of twofold. There's a bit of unseriousness when it comes to taking care of our regular daily health. And then there's also a fear of actually going to the doctor. I'll be honest, I'll never forget, I was having a conversation with my dad. He just recently had a surgery for a hernia, right? And he said he went because the pain was so bad. Now, my dad's 76 years old. He said the pain was so bad, he didn't know exactly what it was, but he said he was afraid to find out what it was. And it's like, if it didn't hurt bad enough where he hadn't slept in days, I'm like, well, were you going to go? He was like, I probably would have eventually because I'm old, but nah, if I didn't have to, you know, I'd have just sat this one out. And unfortunately, that is, I won't say the prevailing mindset, but it does tend to be too much a part of our culture.
And before we continue, I do want to make one kind of clerical announcement, if you want to do that. Ladies, we haven't forgot about y'all in this conversation, but we just want to have a heart-to-heart with Black men. Ladies, this is still important for you as well,
If you love a Black man, then this is an episode for you. Please get him to the doctor.
Man, right? We'll get him to this episode and then get him to the doctor.
Okay, there you go. But on the way to the doctor, listen to this.
So I wanted to throw that out there before we continue down this. Just so it's not, you know, we haven't forgot about y'all. Y'all still do mammograms, do all the things that y'all are supposed to, but it's more us that tend to be a little bit more hard-headed than y'all. So yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. So now with that out the way, what say ye, Paul? Why do you feel why do you feel we don't go to the doctor or anything around that conversation?
I can speak for myself because I'm the dude we talking about.
He that guy?
I'm him. As the young fellas say these days, I'm him. Yeah, I gotta be damn near dying for me to go holler at them. And it's conditioning. I grew up broke. So if something happened, you tough it out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, basically the rule was don't be making me take you to the doctor. I ain't got time or money for none of that.
That copay.
So it was more about, you know, protect yourself. And if you got yourself into something, you did something, got yourself hurt, tough it out. And then you add in, you know, I would, you know, I wasn't Andre or nothing, but I was a little athlete. You know what I'm saying? So there's the invincibility factor that couples in with that, yep, to where you think, I don't even need these. I'm good. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that all factors into it. And then it comes with, like you say, the fear, you know, about finding out what's wrong or having to change things that you don't want to change.
Yeah.
Habits or picking up habits you really don't want to pick up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, who wants to spend 4 hours in a gym outside of little draws over here? You know what I'm saying? picking up stuff and putting it down. That's not my idea of fun. Right? Now, some people find it therapeutic, and I get that. But there's a lot of things that factor in. Like I said, this is just my own perspective. And then you have the demographic of doctors. Mm-hmm. Not many brothers are doctors.
No.
You know what I mean? Anywhere. I guess Atlanta, I'm assuming, has a bunch of brothers that's doctors. But I don't know of many. I don't know that there's an abundance of black. There's not an abundance of black people. So there's naturally not an abundance of black doctors.
Right.
Or dentists or gynos or healthcare professionals as a whole. Right. So there, again, we go into the trust. But again, a lot of us growing up broke, you know, you tough it out, you ride it out. That's what happened. And you just make do with what's going to go. You know what I'm saying? Now, my kids, I don't raise my kids that way. If my kids are hiding stuff from me, I get upset. I don't want them to have the same mentality that I have. They go to the doctor. They get, you see what I'm trying to say?
Right.
I'm, you know, old dog, new tricks.
Why is that though, Paul? Why is it that I'm just pushing back a little bit because I want to understand.
Go ahead, push
back. Why would
you want
that? I got
a bunch of people pushing back all the time with me right now. Look, literally, I'm dealing with this.
I know.
Right now.
I know. And that's why I'm saying
you.
Right. So but that's why I'm asking, why is it?
There's a bunch of people.
Yeah, you wanted a bunch of people.
You are
my wife.
Of people.
It's my homie Steve. It's my homie Montel. Right. They all like, hey, bro,
listen,
you're gonna have to go over there, let them go right up your butt, dog.
Hey.
And I'm like, nah, man.
The thing is, and it's funny that you brought that up about how it's kind of a do as I say, not as I do when it comes to our kids, because mm-hmm. one of the things I find interesting is, and this is across the board, this is not just with black men. Women, right, because of just their general makeup, they know that they got to go to the doctor. They go right regularly because they have OBGYNs and things like right that. And what I was going to ask you was, why is it that you care about this for your sons in a way that even though you know that you want this to be a habit for them, you want this to be a regular thing for them, you won't do it for yourself, or there is a certain hesitance, I should say, to do it for yourself?
Okay. It's the same. You just said, do as I say, not as I do. I mean, I'm sure T. Morant ain't telling Ja Morant to hold a gun to his head on IG Live. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You saw that boy with braces. You know what I'm saying? So you want the best for your children, but you also figure out that, you know what, I'm tough. I got this. I'm gonna be all right. You know why you feel like you're gonna be all right? Because you've been all right the whole time.
So there's a tough.
No matter what, no matter what then came across, you done whooped it and you still standing tall. You could still do at least 75, 80% of the things you could do. You know what I'm saying? I'm running up on 50 years old. I could do about 80% of the things I could do at 25, maybe not 21. I was in shape at 21.
that was a different kind of shape. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But 25, yeah, I could do about 80% of the things. Now, I can't do them all day.
Well, I was going to say, I can do probably closer to 95% of the things I could do even at 20. I just can't do it at the same length of time, and I definitely can't do it at the same rate of speed. Like,
well, you know, I'm talking about like, yeah, like I can do certain things once. Yeah. I can't do them over and over.
Like I can hoop, but I can't run back to back games or that kind of thing. Like that's just not. Got it no more. Yeah.
or if I do run back to back games, the second I sit down, I'm done for the next probably 4 days.
Week. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, you said week. Hey. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rigor mortis done set in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get it. So one of the things that I always look at is now I am a person who goes to the doctor. Like I don't, but I've also was raised in a house where we went to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Mainly, if for nothing else, we were always at the doctor for allergies and asthma. My brother's asthmatic. Mm. My mom and I'm the only person in our house that doesn't have asthma. But wow. I have allergies worse than everybody else. Wow. So you're hating
life right now.
Oh
yeah.
Well, I get allergy shots that help. There's a misnomer that allergy shots take
it,
away.
It doesn't fix it.
It just tries to mitigate.
It keeps you alive.
it's the hospice care. They try to keep you comfortable. Right. Is really what it does. But like we grew up going to the doctor. And so my thing is, I did take a break in the mid, like after college until about 27, I probably didn't go. That was more related to finances than it was anything else. Right. Again, broke starving musician ain't really got 35 or 50 to go get a screen or anything like that. But, you know, once you get back in corporate America or whatever it is and you get benefits, it's like, all right, I'm gonna go. But it is interesting just the fact that one, like you mentioned, the Tuskegee experiment and the lack of trust and things like that, that permeate, even when you know, like, I really need to do this. I really need to go. But like there's always obstacles that we build up in our mind, like the colon cancer test. Well, I ain't letting nobody, that's gay. Well, we're going back to a previous episode. That's gay. I ain't letting nobody stick nothing in my booty. Prostate exam, same thing. But it's like these things are literally necessary. Like early detection is the best chance that you have to continue to be who you are. And even though we know this, back in the day, we could sit here and blame it on ignorance. There wasn't the internet. There wasn't, you know, social media. There wasn't all these other things. But now we're seeing people at a rapid rate have issues, pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer, you know, all these different things, where it's no longer just a cool story. Like Lance Armstrong was before we found out he was an asshole, he was a cool story from overcoming testicular cancer. Right. Then, you know, but it was just a story. He was the one person but now it's coming where like Steve Jobs died of pancreatic cancer. He had all the money. He got all the money. He got access to every doctor you can possibly imagine.
He could have built him a doctor.
Literally.
Yeah.
And he got all these different people that you know of that now is like money is not the gatekeeper. It doesn't care about how much money you have for your health concerns. And for that, like it, I know it almost sounds like a PSA, but it's like, yo, we got to do better to go get things looked at even before it hurts. Like, just go, just give it a shot. See what they got to say. Like the fact that people refuse to go just to even find out what the experience is like, I promise it's not as bad as you think it is. Filling out questions and answering things, or if nothing else, at least start with what's your family's medical history. And so they can chart, like, are you on path to have high blood pressure? Are you on, is it in your bloodline to, to have diabetes? Is it in your bloodline to have breast cancer? Any of those things, ovarian cancer, any of the things that can possibly come along. There's a reason why they chart all that, because there's numbers to prove that you are susceptible to these things. And now with the changes that they have in our food and everything else, like, it's at a point where it is, it's almost a health emergency for Black males to at least go get checked out. If you're not doing it every 6 months, once a year, like, find a middle happy spot and go once a year, because it's a lot easier and a lot more affordable to take care of it on the front end than it is on the back end.
Yeah.
When, you know, they start hook you up to all the medications.
You know, one of the things I thought about too, not to make too fine a point of it, but I remember one of my good friends growing up, guy, and some of you who are probably listening or watching this, remember, if you're from Forest Park, like we are, from Cincinnati, his name was Mike Waller, and called him Wally, Big Mike. And Big Mike died some time back. It's probably been about 8 years now. Well, let's see, I'm 47. So yeah, about 8 years now. Now he died due to complications from diabetes. I remember even before he died, I remember when I found out he got his foot cut off. And he was like 30, I think at the time he's about 34 years old. And the reason why I bring it up is because not only of all the things we're talking about, but this has to be said. I feel like I would be negligent if I didn't say it. Some of that comes from misinformation and believing that, you know, and let's face it, you know, Black people, we tend to be more spiritual minded. We tend to be more faith minded. And so a lot of times we'll have this attitude where it's like, listen, I'm just going to pray over my food and bless my food. And that's
it's going to be what it's going to be.
And it's going to be what it's going to be. And the fact of the matter is, it's like, no, God, you know, if you believe and have faith in God and his higher power, then you do realize that, you know, he told you to drink water. Like, there's water out there for you, or you can't just eat, you know, whatever you want to eat. There are certain that, like, just like in training, fitness, when you're an athlete, these sports stars, bodybuilders, you name it, like, we know the food that we take into our bodies, right? That whole my medicine is my food is my medicine, you know, attitude. We can't look at somebody and think, man, I can't believe they're ODing. Why are they taking, you know, why are they doing these drugs or crack or something? And yet, and it's Ricky Williams said that one time. I never forget, he was doing that interview. And I was shocked that he said it, but I was like standing ovation. They asked him, he said, hey, you know, what is the hardest drug you've ever done? He says, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my gosh, like he's just being weird. But no, he's right. Mm-hmm. Like our addiction to sugar. And the fact is, the way that processed foods are, the way the American diet, it actually is not at all kind, especially to Black people. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand that there's a responsibility we have. We can't be outsourcing this stuff to the church and Jesus. And tell them, oh, well, I'm going to pray for my food and that's it. Or, well, you know, the FDA approves of this medication or this drug, or
I have went, you know, to honey for like my tea and my coffee.
Yep.
I'm honey. I don't use sugar.
Stevia or agave or something, because like that enriched sugar, and not only just that type of sugar, because a lot of times we think sugar, we think sweet, but it's really whatever your body has a difficult time breaking down, processing and dispelling out of your body. Then that is where a lot of your cancers and these things are coming from. And so anyway, I say that only to say that we can't get to that place where we just say, well, you know, it is what it is, or God's got me. Saying that, you know, you have faith that God's going to take care of it, that's not enough. God, you need to have enough faith that God puts you in proximity. We're not in some third world country. We're not out in the bush. We're not in Honduras or Brazil, somewhere out 150 miles away from the nearest clinic or hospital. You have resources available to you. And if you need help, find somebody who knows how to get you some help. But don't take that, you know, cop out, that easy way out, and just say, I'm not going to the doctor because, you know, God got my back.
So you brought up Big Mike, you know, and yeah. So this does has me just thinking of a question. So outside of how did Mike passing away, how did that affect you?
I'm so glad, by the way, that you brought that up. I was heartbroken. It felt helpless, right? Because I could tell you stories on stories from back when we were little kids related to it. But I was heartbroken, not only because he was young, but I felt helpless. And then the other thing was, it made me conscious of my mortality. I was 39 at the time, I believe it was. He was 38. So it was literally like, it goes back to something Paul said a few minutes ago, where it's like, man, I was invincible. Even at 39 years old, I was invincible. I was just a slower version of my invincible self, right? I was just a slightly less agile and flexible version mm-hmm. of my invincible self. Mm-hmm. And when he died, and there was a couple other people even along the way. I remember when Fat Ron died, right? Those of you, again, I'm talking about people that people from Forest Park know. But I remember when Ronnie died, it was like, and he died, I believe it was a cardiac event. And he was only like, I want to say 20, right? He had a history of this. This is actually the same way that his father died. He literally grew up two blocks away from us. And it's like when you see that kind of thing, it sobers you. And I'll just be candid, it's very scary because you realize that, like you said, there are things that when they do that autopsy, that's great that they can say, oh, we know how this happened. And if he had done this or if she had done that, if somebody would have done this, if they had changed that, that's great. But like you said, prevention, that's the best possible cure to get ahead of these types of things. And a lot of times where they say you don't know what you don't know. But it was, like I said, Mike, I've known Mike since I was 4 years old, right? His cousin, one of my best friends, we grew up next door to each other. So like me and Mike go back. But I kept thinking to myself, like, I can't fix his situation. Because even after he had his foot cut off, when he was dying, the last time I saw him, it was probably about a month before he passed. He was blind in addition to losing some limbs. He was still himself, got jokes, you know, he was still, right. You know, he had never changed, but it was miserable. And I knew that I did not want my wife or my kids or my friends or my family. Like, it's one of those, if I'm going to go out, it's not going to be because of something that I could have prevented or I could have done something about. And so it scared me to start going to the doctor more.
Okay. Do you know, you got anybody that you know of, Paul, that, you know, passed away from, we all got people who got shot and killed and all this other stuff, but like from quote unquote preventable, you know, deaths, do you have anybody that?
I mean, we all do. And what I wanted to add to what Rev was talking about is there's a, how could I say it? How do we give people space around, well, if that's what I got to do to stay alive, I don't want to be here anymore. And trying to get them to buy in. You see what I'm trying to say? Because I've been around people like that. Like, okay, well, if you take another drink or if you don't quit smoking, it's a wrap.
Or if right? you don't get in this chemo family, treatment, and they're like, I don't want it.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ride it out, and I'm going to go travel.
I don't have the courage to off myself, but I'm going to kill myself this way. Like, I'm not going to change to
is,
try to
Is that the what they're doing?
I know some people for a fact that's what, you know, the routes that they've taken where it's like, if you say, hey, you just need to give up, you know, cut back on sugar. Well, you know, I don't want to.
I can't have my honey buns?
Right. You know, and that's it's literally, like,
yeah, take it, me or, now, Lord.
Or the, or, right. Or the people, or you know, it's most common finding in people who smoke. And it's like, right. Yo, you right. need to stop smoking. We done detected some spots. We done, you know, all this. And it's like,
I got a homie right now. I know he watches this. You know who he is too. He stay in the hospital behind some cigarettes. Mm. Heart trouble. Good yeah. brother. Dope brother. Yeah. Good businessman too. Does the shirts and everything. I'm not going to say his name.
No, we know. Yeah.
We know he is. Love him to death. I think he just over, he's been in and out of the hospital for his chest.
Yep. Last week.
For, I want to say at least 10 years. And he just started quitting cigarettes.
Yeah. Over he, about, he made, about yeah, a month he posted about that. We were chatting when I was talking about some shirts a few mm-hmm. months ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To your and point, it, though, Paul, like,
Isn't it not their free will?
No, that's what I was getting ready to say. Here's my thing, and I'll totally take a left turn, and we'll come back to it. But it's a lot like, and I've dealt with this. I've talked to people about this, people in my family, even where mm-hmm. they've chosen to get a divorce, break up their family, move on, do something else, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not for me as their friend or relative or something to determine or decide for them whether or not they should stay in that marriage. Mm-hmm. However, that being said, as long as you're willing to own the fact that you did it for selfish reasons, I'm fine with it. As long as you're willing to call it what it is. Because if I decide I don't want to stop eating honey buns and drinking, you know, red cream soda because that's my choice, knowing that it is literally going to cut away at my life expectancy. It's going to cut away at my quality of life even.
What if that's the only bright part of your day?
Again, that's fine. I don't judge. What I'm simply saying is, as long as we're willing to call it what it is. There's actually mm-hmm. a study that came out, and I believe, what's the guy's name? Is it Rogan? The guy that has the...
Joe Rogan,
yeah. And so anyway, he was talking about, he interviewed this guy, it's a doctor, that basically they can take your blood. They don't have to know anything about your history, your past, your family, genealogy, none of that. They can take your blood type and tell you, based on your current situation, how you're living, how you're eating, exercise, all that stuff, they can tell you just how much longer you can expect to live without dying of natural causes, right? And they said they've done this test and study over the years, and they've literally been within 3 or 4 months, I believe it is, of their target. So if they say you got 10 years to go, it's going to happen at 9 years and 8 months or 10 years and 4 months, but it's that kind of window. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, they were, and it was funny because he said people were asking him, well, why do you want to know so bad? And he was like, well, I want to know because if you're telling me I got 10 years left, well, why, ain't no sense in saving all this money. I may as well go out here and enjoy it. He said, but on the flip side, if that is because of something in my diet or exercise or stress level or all, because that's the other part, that's the hidden part of our health that precipitates all these heart disease and all these cancers mm-hmm. and things. It's not just food and exercise. Sometimes it is actually stress. Name another segment of the population throughout the past few hundred years is more stressed than Black men, right? What, Black women? Like, right, that's literally, women. That's the, I was getting ready to say, but literally those are your only two options. There is right. no third option in this, right? We can argue Black men and Black women all day long, but those are your choices. And so the point that he was making, and that's why I'm bringing it up, is that if I have the choice to live longer so that I can be there for my kids, my grandkids, my wife, for other people who love me, depend on me, and I choose not to, that is your choice. And I honestly, I don't begrudge their choice. I'm only saying, call it that. Don't mm-hmm. say, well, you know, it is what it is. And it was, no, you could have done something about it. If you could have, because I'm telling you right now, I look at it now and I'm thinking, at 47 years old, I'm knocking on 60 here, but I'm thinking about like my dad who's 76. And I'm thinking to myself, like, we say now, like at 47, oh man, if I get to 76, man, that's a pretty decent little lifetime. But guess what? I don't want this to be the last year I have my dad. Like, I would want him to do things. So, like, well, what if you only get 4 more years? I don't want him to spend 4 more years in pain. And I'm glad he's not sick. He's not, he doesn't have any disease ravaging his body. If he were in pain, I might look at it differently, because then I'm the one that's being selfish. But my point
is, would you want him to not enjoy the last 4 years of his life just so you could enjoy him?
No. What I would have wanted him to do was, at 47 years old, I would want him to recognize that his life choices could have gotten him from 76 to 86. And my point is, for me, like, I recognize that my life choices now are going to have that effect in the future. Like you said, gunshots and car accidents, you know, we can't predict that.
Right.
But we can only do what is in our control. And I feel like a lot of times, just not, I don't want to go to the doctor, or I don't want to give up honey buns, is not an acceptable answer for somebody who actually is responsible and loves their family and friends.
Oh, okay. And like I said, I'm asking the question again. Maybe I'll say it and I'll use different words. If somebody, would you want, if it was like medication and bland food and no fun, just to have him around, you would do that, and knowing that he was miserable? Who's selfish at that point?
Well, but we need to figure out the miserable part, because I get what your question is.
Yeah.
But you're, like you were saying earlier, when you use an example of giving up honey buns and a Faygo,
right?
To, like, if that's the only bright part of their day,
right?
We need to evaluate why that is the only bright part of your day. Like, life is hard and unfair.
It's that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I get it. But part of this health conversation, because this is a segue that I'm taking, part of this health conversation isn't just about the going to like the doctors for examinations and things like that. Part of this might be you need to go see therapists and have conversations about that, so that you have a better chance of being happy, so that the
thing isn't taking the place. That is the hidden part of it that I think that's why I brought that up earlier. Because if you're miserable, by the way, first of all, let me just say this. Let me clear the air here. Shout out to the people who make honey buns, Little Debbie. Like, ain't nothing wrong. My kids, they get one in their lunch every day, okay? There's absolutely,
in fact, if y'all want to sponsor us, throw us some money, we'll eat one in the broadcast.
Like, I'll eat one right at the gym. But what I'm saying is, that's the part that I think Andre asked, that's because that's where I was stuck. Like, if you're miserable because you can't eat what you want, then we have to question it. We're not talking about you're miserable because you're in pain, you're dying, and there's only a 2% chance that this treatment is going to work because it's experimental or whatever. I'm saying you have the opportunity to change your diet. Like, you have the opportunity to change your lifestyle, to get cardio and be able to train, workout, exercise. Like, there's all types of things you can do. And if you are such that you're miserable because you can't eat what you want, then we have to ask. That's not a dietary problem or even a lifestyle problem. That is a mental health thing that we have to start digging into.
I got to say something. I got to put a disclaimer here for all of us, because healthcare, access to good food so you could have a good diet and all these things
is not always available. Absolutely.
They're privileges.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of people that, and that's why I asked that question. Like, it's cheaper to buy a tall can of beer than it is to buy a bottle of water.
Absolutely.
And you wonder why people are asleep on the street. Why ain't they buying water? Why ain't they? It's cheaper to buy an alcoholic beverage than it is to buy a bottle of water.
And water doesn't numb my pain. Water doesn't offer me an escape.
Again, and this is why I'm saying, like, so we have to be mindful when we have this conversation about access. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like, and that's
and I dig all of that, But even then, with the access question, there's also an excess question. Okay. Like, that's maybe fair. You can't afford to get Panera or salads or the right. all like everything every day. But do you have to eat that fifth pork chop? Like, maybe we try to do portion control or something else that will improve health. That, because I get it. It at one now the prices have gone up, but it definitely used to be cheaper to buy like a Big Mac extra, like extra value, whatever they call it, a Big Mac meal than it was to get a grilled chicken salad.
It still is. Yeah, it still is.
I mean, the prices have gone up where they damn near identical. Like, it's almost. It's just ridiculous.
I don't have enough money for either, but yes, I get the point. Right.
But I'm just saying, like, is there not a way we can take steps to meet people where they're at? I guess is the question that I'm at. Like, if you don't live in an area that will get you the right amount of right water or whatever, like good water or things like that, is there somewhere we can get you a Brita filter where we get filtered water from tap?
Good water is another thing. I'm glad I want not to cut you off. Put a pin in that, because water is a lot of reasons that our women have problems with their hair is because our water's messed up, and the water that's coming into your shower is killing your hair.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All the treatments, all the because we're not just talking about chlorine. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all of the other water treatments that go into. They call it hard water because of how it affects the skin, but it's how it's messing up their not only scalps, because that's your skin, but also hair. The thing is, access, and I'll say it like this, not that we want to brush it aside, but access is always, you start talking about mental health. Access to a therapist, that is not a small thing. Access to clean water, access to food, all of this is predicated on the understanding that you have access. I'm talking about people that have access, but still make the choice to avoid these things. That's more of my mindset when I say this, so that we're clear, because I appreciate you putting that out there, Paul. Like, access is everything, you know?
Blame that as most of the reason that we don't have the relationship with physicians, to be honest, is access.
I don't think
I'm not saying you're wrong, because we don't have stats on either one, but I think it's more of the pride factor. I'm good. Like, I'm not going to diagnose a problem I'm not going to the doctor to look for problems. Like,
you tell yourself that because you ain't got the money to go to the doctor.
Well, there you might have it. You just think you figure out a different way you want to spend your money.
I was going to say, people make lifestyle choices, and they chose to go out. I know people. Listen, when I lived in Atlanta, I know plenty of people. They had the money for healthcare, but they spent it over at, you know, Magic City or Strokers or something. Like, they chose to put their money out there because it was entertainment, and that was how they numbed their pain, and they felt like, I'm not on drugs, right? I'm not out here blowing it on, you know, shooting up. So my point is that we all have choice. And again, those are the ones I'm talking about, people who actually have the choices. Because if you don't have a choice, not only should they not be shamed for it, it's not even their fault. It's a structural thing. Mm-hmm. But there are those who, frankly, I just think it's one of those where it's like, I'd rather get a 75-inch television then, you know, take the time. True story. I live in Delaware. I drive to my dentist and my primary healthcare physician are both Black doctors. Now, my dentist, I have a Black female dentist and I had a Black female doctor. And she's recently moved to another practice. So my doctor, Dr. Fuller, he is a Black man. And there are people who think I'm strange because I drive an hour when there's plenty of doctors along the way here. And I'm like, what? I had to get through the skepticism and some of the doubt. And I was like, I'd rather go. Part of the reason why I choose females is because I know that females, talking about the patriarchy like we did a couple episodes ago, I know that the patriarchy is real. And I know that women work harder So if there is a disease to be found in my body, I know that a female doc, I've had plenty of doctors before. I didn't know I was diabetic until my female black doctor was the one who actually gave me those tests to make sure and screen for this because I was getting ready for a bodybuilding competition. But that's a life choice. I choose to drive all the way across the bay because there are no black doctors close by that I can go to that I would be able to, you know, that I trust. So I choose to make it. Now, we drive for anything else. We drive for the concert, right? We drive for the football game. Why can't you drive to the doctor a couple of times a year?
I cussed people out in Christ Hospital when Parker was born because my wife almost died from hemorrhaging because they didn't believe her when she said she was in pain.
Yeah.
Now that's a whole
that's a whole different show.
We're gonna have a different show on that one, for sure. Yes. But my thing also with access is
I almost went to jail that night.
Yes.
With access, like I get it that everybody doesn't have, you know, corporate jobs, even factory jobs that, you know, cover all the things that you would like for them to cover. But most people are in a situation where even if they have to go to a free clinic or some looking up some other resource that gets them at least a screen once a year. Most of the things have happened now with legislation that most people are afforded at least a screening in a year. Mm-hmm. And so like even just taking advantage of those opportunities, black women will take advantage of that opportunity far more frequently than a black male would. Because one, we got a pride factor. I'm not looking for a handout. B, I don't trust these people that's going about to touch on me anyway. And C, that's gay.
And they've also been conditioned to depend on the government. We've discussed this in episodes in the past, or other or white men to alleviate whatever or ailing them.
That information. You trust somebody else's information. Instead of, like you just said it, Andre, about reaching out and actually researching.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to actually do that intentionally.
Right.
You don't just fall across some information at the barbershop. Like you have to be looking for that information. You got to go verify it and then check out how can I get access to this? And that's part of what I'm saying is that, I guess that's how I would sum it up, especially for black men. Like we have to be more intentional about our health. I work out 5 times a week. That's intentional. That is for a
purpose. You still look like that?
Hey, man, listen. I'm doing the best I can.
If you had to get four, I'd hate to see you.
But that's kind of the thing, though, honestly, that it's an intentional thing. And it's not just cosmetic. Yes, I bodybuild, but it's not just cosmetic. It is, honestly, I want, my son is 14. My daughter's 11. She has a softball game here later today. I want to be able to go outside, throw a ball, run, play, pick things up. I want to be able to share time with them in a way that a lot of my peers, people are, they really struggle to be able to do that. I don't want to be in that situation. That is an intentional choice. And it's the same thing when it comes to, let's face it, there's a lot of men who never go get screened and never get checked for diabetes until their blood vessels are messing up and they can't get their little thing up. It would because the blood, because it's not working. That's honestly, most men do not even know or care that they have diabetes. Neck turning black, eyes turning black, hair falling out. They can't feel their fingers, but it's not until they can't get an erection that they even say, ooh, something might not be right. And I feel like, hey, whatever works, right? Whatever gets you in there to get checked out.
I got a homeboy around, I want to say 25, 26. He had high blood pressure problems. So, yeah, he's been on them pills since his late 20s.
Ready, here's the thing, and ready to die. Like, I'm willing to go out like a G, except for the fact that my little man don't work. So, I can't get him up.
He's been on them.
That'll get you to the doctor.
He's been on them stand up in the paint pills since his late 20s.
Right.
And it's, I know he watched this.
But here's the thing, but there's shame associated with it. Don't do that, man. Come on, leave that man alone. Let that man live. All I'm saying is, there's shame associated with it. Well, I hope he's living great. He taking the medicine.
But it's one of those things, like, and Billy's alluded to it, and we've all kind of talked around it to a point where decisions, like trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, you know, when I put on football pads that I was trading off later on that I would have the back that I have, I would have the shoulders that I have, and that would be it.
I didn't care, but I didn't know. I didn't know I would feel like this at this age.
Fair point. But now
I didn't care though.
But now you also have kids who have that are actively participating in the sport, and you tell them, hey, this is what it looks like. That. I knew.
Yeah, I tell him, like, don't do that.
My son asked me, he was like, should I go play football? I was like, son, if you want to, I will support you. But if you're asking me my opinion, man, listen, let's get out here and let's hit the batting cages.
So we all know
that you want to kick a punt?
Yeah. But you ain't running nothing back.
We recognize
as long as you don't touch the ball, you can play.
Yeah.
My pops was my example of why I knew what it looked like later on in life. Because I saw it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, knee surgeries and multiple knee surgeries, neck surgeries, back surgery. Like, I saw all of that. And it was still like,
that's it, though, Andre. See, that's the thing. That is, in my opinion, the solution. You model the behavior. Mm-hmm. Black men have to model the behavior. And if we care about our health, we can model that behavior. That's why I was saying that when Paul was like, hey, I'm going to tell you, you need to do this, and I'm going to provide this for you, but I ain't all that worried about it for me. I'm like, you have to model the behavior. Otherwise, I can't expect you to trust
that I can.
It'll help you.
I can expect anything I want to expect, bro. I'm daddy, fool.
Well, but like what I was saying, or at least my final point on the trade-off is like, cool. If you, like, I made football a priority, I knew I was trading off something. And now I know I have the issues that I have based on that. I'm okay with it because it led to a really, really good life. When you eat the things that you do, you're making it like, and you decide not to do something, not go to the doctor, not do that. Like, it's cool. You're making a trade-off. Just understand that you are making a trade-off. Like,
yeah,
that's it. And if you cool,
that's a choice.
I'm good with that portion as well. This is just to encourage people to do what you can, what is within reason, and at least explore. Like I said, once a year, if you can't go every 6 months, I get it. But at least once a year, like, let somebody listen to your heartbeat, see if it's pumping normal. See if you do have high blood pressure, if you do have that stress. Again, I'm not even just talking about the physical things that we eat, but the things that we consume as well. Like, the stress levels that we have are normal and natural and shouldn't be here, but it is part of our life. But don't add to it. Don't drive around with music on and flaring a gun. Shout out to John Moran again.
Young Demetrius.
But boy. I'm just saying, like, just try to do what you can at least once a year to get checked out and just see where you stand. If you once every couple of years, I mean, whatever that looks like, but to just play ignorance like this will just go away as long as I don't know about it, I'm good. That's a hard line to take when it comes to death is final. Like, this shit is forever.
It don't come back. Yeah,
and to put yourself in a position where you can't enjoy. Mike did not enjoy the end of his life. He was always happy and smiling and joking and stuff like that.
Nothing was serious for that man. He was the jokingest, happiest, most like lovable guy ever. And I think to even something like, if I were to sum up what you just said, Audrey, it's so true. Cause that, I think I like to put things in a nice little, you know, sentence or a nice little shell package. There are many more of us that have choices then believe that we have choices. Because like Paul was saying, there's plenty of us that don't have choices. We can't get to certain things. We don't have certain resources available to us. But there are many of us that actually have the choice. You could get a routine physical with some blood work done, and it would be done at a very cheap cost or even free. But just know that it's available. Know that you can get it done. There are actually resources out there for you.
Yeah, that's also part of it as well. There are a lot of people who don't know what they have access to.
That's right. That would be my thing, is that obviously everybody can't. There are barriers to it. It may, and we get mad because we're like, well, I don't feel like I should have to take all these steps and go over there. Okay, fine. So rich white guy over here, it may be right there on a platter for him. and you actually have to walk down the street to get it. It may actually take you a little bit of work to get it. The point is, take the walk. It's worth it. It isn't fair that it's more barriers for you and you got to take two extra steps than the next man. But just know that it ain't worth dying because you got to take two extra steps when it's available to you.
Y'all figured out how to research getting a PPP loan. You can figure out how to research this.
See how we do.
See how we do. But I'm... Y'all didn't see
you
no
ain't lying. Lying. Yeah, I was saying, okay, you ain't lying. Yeah, okay. I mean...
I mean... Wow.
Cold, yeah, buddy. I got nothing. Yeah. Damn.
So I'm gonna handle the APB for this one. And it's really kind of short and simple, man. Every day I'm tired of looking on my feed and seeing who passed away. It used to just be celebrities that were going too young, but then that circle started getting smaller where the dots started connecting back to people that we know, like personally, people that I hung out with, people I did music with. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that have happened weren't due to like crime. Like it wasn't people, like when I was younger, you know, I had people who got shot and killed and things like that, had car accidents and all of that. But we at that age now at this point where that circle is on us, is tapping us on the shoulder. And so my APB is for us to literally just find somebody and encourage them to go to their doctor. Recently, it's been 2 months ago, I think at this point, went to the funeral of my homeboy, Mario Strayhorn, and to look in the room and see everybody that was our age and to see my boy in a box was something that was just difficult and preventable. And so I don't want y'all listeners to have to experience that at this point. And so my APB is just to find one male friend, one black male friend that you have, and encourage them to go to the doctor. If they do, I mean, like if they already go, cool, move to the next one. Find somebody who isn't going to the doctor and encourage them just to get to one appointment, because I'm trying not to get emotional, but I'm tired of seeing the RIP post, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to happen.
You mentioned Mario. You know, I think I shared this with you when it happened, Andre. It may have been you or somebody else, but the last time I spoke to him, he was actually at Planet Fitness.
Hmm.
We were literally talking about an incident he had had, like, I guess a couple weeks before, but he was at the Planet Fitness over in Springdale, and he was going to work out. Like, now, this has been some time back, but I say that only to say Mario was not some blob who was out of shape and he was just running around here just throwing his life away on milk and cookies. Like he in our minds, it's like he was taking care of himself. If you looked at him, you would think, oh, well, you know, he's doing all right. But that's why it's so important that you go. Let the people that have trained in this be able to, you know, assist and give us that screening, because it's beyond sad. Like I said, it's heartbreaking. And I feel what you say. I feel your pain, because we're not old enough for that to be a regular occurrence. And it is preventable in many ways.
Mm. And you know what? To add to that, we too old to be close and friends to not say we love each other when we get off the phone or when we leave each other's presence because of what you just said.
Absolutely. Yeah. That it's interesting because it's funny. I to that point,
it ain't gay to say I love you.
I used to do that when I was younger because that's how I was always raised to be. And then people are like, why would you say that? Like, oh, that's gay. But it's funny because I'm glad, like Paul and I, whenever we hang up the phone, like that's what it is. Like that's how we address it. I remember seeing first time I remember seeing this, and it was funny. Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson
with the kiss, like, on the cheek.
Come to the, they get each other a little, just a little customary, you know, formal thing. But I remember how that stuck out to me because it's like they went at it. But if you, and to Andre's point, if you care enough and you say you care, don't just do the gestures, don't get, just get a lip service. Trust me, they'll listen to you. Mm-hmm. They will listen to you. If they care, if you care enough and they know you care enough, they will listen to you and they'll be like, man, you know what? Man, Paul been on my back. You know, Andre been trying to tell me, let me go ahead and find me a primary care physician.
Go ahead and get looked at.
Let me go ahead and get looked at, you know. check this elbow out or something. Like, mm-hmm. But take yourself seriously enough and understand people really will listen to you.
You matter.
So, yeah, you matter. You need to
matter to you as much as you matter to the people who love you.
That's right.
In fact, I was saying that to my son this morning because he was trying to go to school with his hair uncombed and his clothes was all wrinkled. Like, bruh, you need to love you as much as I love you.
Yeah. I love you enough to not let you walk about here.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to say something right. Every time I see something, bruh. But, I ain't about to let you walk by me like that.
Yeah. But I appreciate that, Andre. Like, seriously, understand that people will listen to you.
Yes.
They will. They will listen to you.
Yes, they will.
So definitely do that. That's great.
Encourage them. Push them.
Great advice. Push them. Yeah. And with all of that, we'd like to say thank you once again for joining us here on The Gray Matters. Each time we come to you, we hope that you are satisfied with everything that we're bringing you, every topic that comes up. Please feel free to follow us on all of our platforms. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next time with yet another hot topic with plenty of hot takes to go around. We hope you'd enjoyed it.
Hey. Enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it.
We hope that you did, we hope that you enjoyed it, and we look forward to seeing you
right
next time. Be blessed.
Is that like liked it? I liked it. Peace, y'all.
Peace out, y'all. See you next time.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave. No longer a slave, beat to the gods, still pray, surviving my day. A threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you're seeing the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose to grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is the fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and see what we'll find.
Promise.
Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World at Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar. The Gray Matters.